Ramsey TV.
It's pretty hard to find members of the Body of Christ, right? So when you finally do find a member of the Body of Christ, you want to celebrate and fellowship with that person. But along comes the Acts 28 theory, which is creeping into the consciousness these days, which is why I'm going to spend the next couple of days talking about it. Along comes that, and then you find out that within the Body of Christ, there are people who are adhering to Paul's first six letters, and those who are adhering to Paul's last seven letters. Those who are adhering to his first six letters and getting truth from his first six letters are borrowing Israel truth. They're grabbing on to an obsolete Body of Christ. Yes, because I'm really getting this straight in my head. The Acts 28 position claims that there are two bodies of Christ. There was an immature Body of Christ that is now obsolete, that doesn't exist anymore. It was basically a name for Israel. And then there is the mature Body of Christ, the relevant Body of Christ, the Body of Christ for today. And these people, you see, they will focus on Paul's last seven letters, the letters he wrote after the magical mystery tour line of Acts 28:28. And they will be the mature ones. They will be the smart ones. They will be the real Body of Christ. The people who are playing around with Romans, playing around with 1 Thessalonians, playing around with 1 and 2 Corinthians, playing around with Galatians. These poor people, they're in Jurassic Park. They're playing with old toys that have become obsolete, right? We're watching movies on VHS. We're listening to music on an 8-track. And so this teaching creates dissension within the Body of Christ because it divides the Body of Christ. You're either playing in Jurassic Park and you're grabbing on to passages in Romans or 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians that don't apply to you. Either you're doing that or you've graduated to Paul's prison epistles and now you're a real member of the Body of Christ. This is why Dave McCullough, in his comments a few days ago, which I quoted yesterday, said that Paul writes in Ephesians about a new Body of Christ. See, there it is. Said it out loud. Dave said it out loud. Of course, the phrase new Body of Christ does not exist in the scriptures, but this is an artificial line that is causing dissension and it is causing, it is forcing a non-existent disparity. It is making people judge other people. Like I said at the beginning, it's hard enough finding members of the Body of Christ. Now we have people glomming onto an obsolete Body of Christ and those who are the so-called new Body of Christ. You see, this is so bad. Again, Paul would be so distraught about this because the Body of Christ is one body. And Paul wants us all to come to a unity of the faith. This does not engender a unity of the faith. This engenders false distinctions. It draws lines where there ought not to be lines. It's like in politics. They call it identity politics. And in identity politics, you're always separating people into groups. United we stand, divided we fall. It splinters and splits the Body of Christ. And this ought not to be happening. And I hate to say it again, but this Acts 28 position, I explained it yesterday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch yesterday's show, MCTV 1195, was it? The man who's the head honcho in promoting it these days is Clyde Pilkington, and it pains me to say it, but he glommed onto this. I'm going to explain it in detail, okay? So really, if you don't want to watch yesterday's video, that's fine. You still should. It was a long one, 36 minutes. But today, I'm going to reference a newsletter I wrote called Defending the Expectation of the Body of Christ. And I'm going to lay it all out for you. And I have to say this. You have to avoid Clyde Pilkington's teaching. Again, he didn't invent this thing. This division within Paul. Charles Welch, I believe, is the father of it. Some people think A.E. Nock taught it. He did not. And again, as I'm thinking about this today, this is why I'm talking about it, I realize more and more that this splits, this creates a dissension, this creates disunity, where Paul would create unity. This is like identity politics. Oh, you're a prison epistle Body of Christ member, or you're a pre-prison epistle Body of Christ member, splitting Paul. Now, we have to split Paul from the rest of scriptures, but that's hard enough. People's minds are blown enough when you tell them that, when you tell them that Paul does not belong with the rest of scriptures because he has a distinct message to the nations. This is a legitimate cut, cutting the nations from Israel. This is a well-known cut, and this is an appropriate one. A message to the nations from Paul, a message to Israel from the patriarchs, to our Lord when he was on the earth, to the apostle Peter. That is a gospel to Israel concerning the earth. Paul was an apostle to the nations, Romans 11, 13. This distinction must be made. Yes, this is what is meant by correctly cut the word of truth. But to cut Paul is a mistake that can only bring disunity and strife. And I'm going to teach strongly against it. Yesterday, I kind of just talked to you. Today and Monday, I'm going to give you scripture after scripture after scripture. And I'm going to give you two really disturbing quotes from Clyde Pilkington. And I'm going to show you how wrong he is about this. Because the very foundation stone of this teaching is wrong. And I can prove it. And I will prove it. I want to bury this teaching. Bury it for the modern believer. I suppose in every era since Charles Welch, somebody's got to bury this thing because it keeps raising its ugly head and people grab onto it. And I've been struggling to figure out why. I've been struggling to figure out what's the appeal. I can think of three things. Number one, early in Paul's ministry, there are some Israelite things going on. People are speaking in languages. There is healing going on. There are gifts back then that we don't have now. Prophecy was in play. But this is because the body of Christ was in its infancy. It was early. And not only did it help Paul to get the right hand of fellowship from Peter, but some of the signs that were associated with Israel were done by Paul, which gave his ministry some heft, some weight, some legitimacy, and it was important for his ministry to take off. But this does not mean that there was a different body of Christ then. It just means that the body of Christ was beginning. Just like a rocket that takes off, a Saturn V rocket, the entire rocket is needed to take the crew into outer space. But once you break Earth's atmosphere, you can get rid of stage one and stage two. Those stages fall off, right? They fall off. It's the same mission. It's the same astronauts. The same goal, the same program, the same, the same, the same. It's just that once you get to a certain altitude, you don't need certain things. That's as simple as this is. It's discarding stages. Paul said he baptized a few people back in the day. So I just explained this to you and giving you the rocket analogy. And he's, oh, that's a very simple analogy. Yeah, we get it. But for some reason, some people can't understand it and they freak out. Oh, there's Israel stuff going on here. Why is Paul baptizing? Why are people speaking in tongues? Why is there prophecy? Why is there healing? There's something really weird going on here. Yeah, I'll admit those things are strange. Even when they happen in Israel, they're strange. But that doesn't matter, and it doesn't touch the fact that we're still dealing with the nations and a distinct message to the nations. But the Acts 28:28 people have to invent something to explain it. They have to invent a false line. And they look for a line where all the Israel stuff disappeared. And they go to Acts 28:28. I don't know for sure that that's where all the Israel stuff disappeared. It doesn't even matter. It's just that as Paul's ministry went, it went from glory to glory. What went from glory to glory? Paul's ministry, Paul's message went from glory to glory. There's no need to draw a false line. There's no need to invent a line. It's a man-made line. This is a man-made distinction. I'm going to get into glorious detail on this, and I'm going to bury it. And if you want to get a head start on this, linked below are five newsletters I wrote, a five-part series I wrote in 2015 called A Defense of the Expectation of the Body of Christ. Part five was written by Aaron Welch, who agrees with me 100% on this. And we bury this thing. Just bury it. So if anyone is having doubts, or if anyone is being tempted to think that, yes, we must split Paul and create more divisions, my God, it's hard enough, again, keeping the body of Christ separate from Israel. Now we're going to keep the body of Christ separate from an old body of Christ, the new body of Christ separate from the old body of Christ. The letters Paul wrote from prison from the letters he wrote before prison. Oh, this is disgusting. It's false. And now I know I'm just talking again, but I'm going to give you evidence. Give us proof, Sender. Give us scriptures. I am going to do it. So that's the, I'm trying to find the motive still. I'm trying to explain the motive. That's the first thing I can think of, is they can't explain the Israel things. And instead of seeing them as early stages of a rocket necessary to propel it, Paul needed some help. He needed Peter's right hand of fellowship to give him legitimacy. These miracles helped. Paul did miracles. It ratified his apostleship. This man was from God. He's legitimate. Paul needed that. He needed it. The other thing is, for some reason, I might not even get past this today. For some reason, everybody who grabs onto the Acts 28:28 thing, they hate the snatching away. And I don't know which came first. Making a false distinction between what Paul wrote when he got to Rome and what he wrote before he got to Rome. What does that matter? I read Acts 28:28 to you. But I'm going to explain it in detail. I'm going to show you the scripture. I don't know which came first. Grabbing onto Acts 28 as a false line of distinction, or hating the snatching away. I tend to believe that hating the snatching away came first. You may ask, why would anybody hate the snatching away? Why would anybody not want that? I think I know why. Because Christianity has made a circus out of it. Christianity has called it the rapture. And it seems to many mature saints, it seems to them to be so juvenile, to think and to hope that we will someday be lifted out of the earth and taken to our celestial home. And because, again, because it has been so tainted, because this great event has been so tainted by the Christian religion, those who consider themselves beyond that, consider themselves mature saints, they need to jettison it. And so they relegate that passage, which is in 1 Thessalonians, which is a letter Paul wrote before prison, they relegate it to the dinosaur bone heap, right along with baptism and the signs, the healings, and prophecy. But Paul specifically said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 that prophecy will cease, languages will cease. He specifically said that these things will cease. When did he say that the great snatching away passage of 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, when did he ever say that would cease? When did he ever say, well, what I just told you is going to go away eventually? This is truth for Israel. And it's not truth for Israel. The Acts 28 people who insist it's truth for Israel, they claim that Israel is going to be snatched away and then brought back to earth, which is absolutely ridiculous. Why would you do that? They're an earthly people. Their gospel is on the earth. Why take them to the air for 10 seconds and bring them back down? It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But I think they hate it. They hate it because they're embarrassed by it. And they want to distance themselves from it. It's immature to think we're going to float up into the sky. Instead, as I told you yesterday, it's just a poof. That's way more mature. Poof. Yes, we'll just suddenly appear. Suddenly appear. Don't know how. With the poof, like Dave McCullough said yesterday. Poof. Or, if you're like Clyde, you believe that everybody in the body of Christ is destined to die. And they're going to all be dead. The whole era of the body of Christ will pass away. We won't be raised yet, mind you, but we'll all be passed away for hundreds and hundreds of years while this pre-kingdom kingdom, it's so complex what these people, but what Clyde believes. He believes this pre-kingdom kingdom of God, not the thousand-year kingdom, but a pre-kingdom, will exist while all members of the body of Christ are dead. The era of the body of Christ is over because Clyde desperately wants to see his grandchildren's grandchildren. Desperately. And I think they're embarrassed about the snatching away. I partly blame Christianity for that. In fact, I didn't read this to you, but the following day, Dave McCullough had another comment concerning the snatching away. I'm going to paraphrase it now. He calls it the rapture. He said, everything Christianity believes is wrong. Why would you believe? He's challenging me to drop my juvenile insistence on the rapture. Why would you believe something that Christianity believes? And then he says, Christianity believes that the rapture is for them. Well, for one thing, I'm not believing what they believe because I know it's not for them. Woo, that's way different. They believe in this event, but they think they're going to be part of it. They're not going to be part of it. But that doesn't do away with the event itself. Christians say things that are true, like they believe in Christ came to the earth. They believe that. Do I have to, just because Christians believe that, do I have to discard it because Christians believe it? They believe that Christ is going to come again, and he is. Do I have to discard the second coming of Christ because they believe Christ is coming again? Christians believe that there's an event where believers are taken up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. Does that mean I have to discard it? I think these Acts 28:28 people think, yes, we have to discard it. We can't be seen to be anything like the Christians. I get that. I get not wanting to be anything to do with Christians. But it's that on every one of these points, Christians misappropriate everything. They misappropriate the tribulation. They don't understand the purpose of it. They misappropriate the snatching away. They don't understand the purpose of it. They even misappropriate the resurrection of Christ. They don't understand it. They misplace everything. So they may have the same beliefs we do on the outside. But when you delve into it, they're not the same at all. You see, they're not the same. So I think there's a huge embarrassment about the snatching away. Because the more I think about it, and I've been thinking about this today, the more I think about it is there are some people who just mock it. They roll their eyes if you think you're going to be snatched away. And you can tell they call it the rapture because they want to associate it with Christianity to give them an excuse to jettison it. And so they say that it belongs to a bygone era. It's for Israel. It's for that old body of Christ that is now extinct. Yeah, the old body of Christ that Paul was teaching to. Paul was teaching the old body of Christ in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. He's teaching the old body of Christ, like teaching Triceratops. And according to the Acts 28:28, people, that old body of Christ is gone. It is extinct. It's dead. And anybody still poking around those bones of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians are just misguided people, poor people. Pat them on the head. You know, throw them a Brontosaurus burger. Play them reruns of the Flintstones. They're immature. Too bad. They haven't grasped onto the new body of Christ. Boy, oh boy, is this disgusting. Now, the third reason I shared with you yesterday, and I still believe this, is that there is a group of people, not only do they not want to be snatched away, but they don't want to leave this earth at all. They like it on the earth. They're comfortable here. Paul's truths of the era being limited, of the snatching away, of always thinking of the return of Christ as imminent, and that's how we're supposed to think of it. Paul calls it loving his appearing. You see, this makes some people nervous. Why? Because they love the current eon. They won't say that, but they'll just try to come up with a teaching. Invent one. Which is Acts 28:28, an invented, man-made teaching. They'll invent a teaching to get rid of the snatching away. The imminent expectation of the body of Christ, they don't want it because they want to stay on earth with their families, with their kinfolk, with their loved ones. And they also conveniently, because 1 Thessalonians, that's where the snatching away is. It's a dinosaur letter. Doesn't belong to the mature body of Christ. And wait till you hear some of the quotes from Clyde in volume 490 of Bible Student's Notebook. Gonna blow your mind. Gonna do it Monday. Point by point by point. And I'm gonna bury it because I'm gonna prove to you without a shadow of a doubt using Clyde's words against Scripture that this thing is untenable. It's unsustainable. It's man-made. It falls apart at the first touch of Scripture. So they not only conveniently get rid of 1 Thessalonians.
Well, it's a pre-prison epistle, don't you see? Triceratops, Cro-Magnon men read those letters.
But they conveniently get rid of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul says the era is limited. Therefore, those having wives, be as though not having them. That includes you, wives having husbands. Those using the world as not using it up. Those mourning as not mourning. Those rejoicing as not rejoicing. Those buying as not retaining. Because they love all this stuff. They love having wives. They love having husbands. They love buying things. They love retaining things. They love these things. They don't want them to go away. And so this false teaching, this man-made teaching, lets them relegate that to a former era. They say that, well, Paul expected Christ to return to Israel at that time. And when Christ didn't come, then Paul said, well, okay, now I guess the era's not limited. But Paul never did correct himself. Paul never did say the era is no longer limited. He never did say, well, okay, now I want you to buy things and hold tightly to them. Now, I not only want you to use the world, but yeah, use it up. Use it up. Use it, use it, use it. It's a long way off, forget it. Yeah, those who are mourning, you know, mourn like hell. Just get into your tears. Just bury your head in the ground. Just be sad as hell. Because it's a different era now. Let those who are rejoicing, yeah, I mean, jump up and down as high as you can now. Just, I want you to buy bags and bags of confetti, get a party horn. Just lose your mind in celebration now, because everything I said in 1 Corinthians 7 no longer applies. Yeah, husbands, make your wives the center of your world. Just forget your job even. Just do everything you can to make your wife happy. That's the most important thing now. That's the number one spiritual, and this is what Clyde believes, the number one spiritual enterprise. Cater to your wife. It's better to be married. It's the highest spiritual attainment. I'm quoting. I might get to that. I don't know. Highest spiritual attainment. Oh, really? Paul says he wished everybody was single. He says, I know not everybody can be that way, but I wish everybody was. Oh, no, 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 that belongs back there with Brontosaurus and the Pteranodons, yeah, the Trilobites are holding their wives loosely, the Trilobites are buying and not retaining, the Trilobites are using the world and not using it up, those stupid dodo birds. Trilobitish dodo birds, prehistoric people, the old body of Christ. Disc, disc, disc. What is with those people? They should be holding tightly to everything. The more I think about it, the more pathetic it is. And the more it makes me want to speak out against it. In case anybody's thinking of glomming onto it. In case anybody's interested in it. Everybody, I don't know. Don't be interested in it. I mean, you can look at it. Like, I'm not here to tell you don't read anything Clyde wrote. Yeah. In fact, I quote Clyde in the newsletter that I'm going to share with you on Monday. I quote him. I got some quotes that are going to blow your mind. Yeah. You'll see. But if you want to get a jump on it, if you can't wait till Monday. I get it. Underneath this video, you see a little tab that says show more. You press that thing, boom, another magical world opens up. You'll see the audio to this video, an MP3 file. You can download, listen to it while you jog, while you drive, while you fish for trilobites, while you dig for dinosaur bones. You poor people who read Romans like it's for you. You poor people who read like 1 Thessalonians like it's for you. Like these, you poor people who read Paul's letters to the nations like they're for you. The nations, also known as the body of Christ. And where does Paul say there's an old body of Christ and a new body of Christ? Nowhere. It's all man-made. It's all fake. And I'm telling you, I can't think of anything else. It's one of three things. Trying to explain some of the Israelite things happening early in Paul's ministry. Hating, being embarrassed by the rapture because Christians are all giddy about it, so we have to get rid of it. And number three, they love this current eon. And they don't like to think of Christ's return being imminent. These are not good things, ladies and gentlemen. And I am persuaded of better things concerning